From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly look at Northern California's science and environment. It's been a harsh winter across the U.S. Snow has blanketed the Sierra Nevada, where the snowpack is well above normal. Lots of snow means good skiing, but it also means an increased danger of avalanches. Lauren Sommer traveled to Lake Tahoe, where researchers are trying to understand the inner workings of snow a little bit better.
Early in the morning, before most skiers and snowboarders have strapped on their boots, this is what a ski area sounds like after a big Sierra snowstorm. On the backside of Squaw Valley Ski Resort, two ski patrollers drop into a black diamond run known as Granite Chief. Below them are mounds of fresh, untouched powder, more than 7 feet deep.
Copy that. I'm at 263. I'm headed down right now.
Skiers live for snow like this, but it also comes with a danger, avalanches. To prevent them, the patrollers are throwing explosive charges onto the slopes to trigger smaller, less dangerous avalanches.
If it all goes well, we should have granite inside of an hour here.
The Sierras are known for getting tons of snow really quick.
Will Payden is the avalanche forecaster at Squaw Valley Ski Resort.
We're constantly trying to start the avalanches so that we don't let the snowpack build up to be too deep.
Payden says on a day like today, they'll use more than 1,000 pounds of explosives to make the ski area safe. But the job isn't over when the snow stops falling. The snowpack is constantly changing.
One day it could be perfect powder, and then that afternoon the wind can pick up and put a wind crust on top of that perfect powder and make it difficult skiing.
Avalanche forecasting is even more technical.
We had a lot of riming in this snow and some grapple events.
Okay, to translate that, you have to go inside the snowpack.
So we've got the snowpack open here.
On a slope outside of Truckee, Brandon Schwartz uses a shovel to cut a cross-section in the snow. As a forecaster with the nonprofit Sierra Avalanche Center, Schwartz has dug thousands of avalanche pits like this one.
We can, you know, feel the different hardness of all the layers that have formed in the snow that's fallen over the last 2 to 3 days.
Schwartz is looking for weak layers of snow, which is where avalanches begin. He pulls out a saw and slices through the snow to isolate a 1-foot-wide column. Then he places his shovel on top.
And we'll just start to load on top of it first with 10 chaps just from my wrist. I'm just kind of lifting my wrist and letting my gravity pull my hand down.
Those taps simulate what a little weight would do to the snowpack, either from more snow falling or from a skier.
So we got pretty significant crack all the way across the column here.
Schwartz points to where the snowpack has broken away along a straight line.
Definitely a difference in strength there, and that's what makes up the layering of the snowpack. And when we have these layers of different characteristics, then we start to get some of the ingredients for a slab avalanche.
Schwartz and his team travel into the backcountry every day to assess the avalanche danger in the Tahoe region. Of the 36 people who died in avalanches across the United States last winter, almost all of them were in the backcountry. A large storm like this one means today the danger is high. But what makes some snow weaker than other snow?
Once we have snow on the ground, a whole bunch of really interesting things happen. You think of the snow as being rather static, but it's not at all.
Jeff Dozier is an environmental scientist at the University of California, Santa Barbara, who studies how snow impacts California's water supply. He says to understand what's happening, you have to go all the way down to the level of a snowflake. Once the snow falls,
the snow crystals will start to stick together.
As they sit there, the crystals grow rounder and bond together.
And if you shovel snow, you see this. If you shovel snow when it's new, you know, you can stick the shovel in the snow and you can lift it. You shovel snow when it's old, it's hard to break that block of snow loose from its neighbor.
Dozier says when a lot of snow falls quickly, like it does in the Sierra, this bonding process may not happen fast enough to support the snowpack, which leads to avalanches. The warmer a snowpack is, the faster it bonds. But if it's colder, sometimes a different kind of crystal grows.
Typically, the temperature at the base of the snowpack, this is going to be around 0°C. But on a very cold night, the temperature at the surface, say, might be -20°C.
That difference in temperature can create another shape of crystal, a faceted crystal.
They're sort of angular. They don't bond with each other very well.
These crystals look like grains of sugar, and they create weak layers deep in the snowpack. A better understanding of snow crystals could help avalanche forecasters. Dozier says it could also help water managers trying to anticipate the snowpack melt in the spring, an event that's critical to the state's water supply. Of course, back at Squaw Valley, skiers are hoping that spring melt is still a long way off. For Quest, I'm Lauren Summer, KQED News.
Get an up-close look at snow crystals at our website and check out a video of Brandon Schwartz doing a backcountry avalanche forecast. That's at kqed.org/quest.